Welcome on in, everyone. Got only a few weeks left of the Stock Car Scoops here on frontstretch.com. Adam Cheek here with you alongside Tanner Marlar. Tanner, this is your Stock Car Scoop debut, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm glad to be on the show. I do several other shows. I'm on radio just about every day here in beautiful Starkville, Mississippi. But first time on the Scoop, man. I'm excited.
Well, you and me both, doing radio, doing the Scoop, doing a little bit of everything. I want to start off with something that's dominated talk on radio, talk in articles, talk everywhere on TV over the last couple of days. Bubba Wallace, as a fallout of his retaliation against Kyle Larson, right hooking him into the outside wall at Las Vegas, with his suspension, one race suspension for Homestead. NASCAR didn't levy a points penalty or a fine to him, but he has the suspension for this weekend at Homestead. Was that the appropriate call for NASCAR to suspend him for one race, or should it have been less? Should it have been more? Because everyone's got a different opinion on this.
It is appropriate. Now, I want to come out and say that there is, that bar none, flat line, a one race suspension is entirely appropriate and I think should be expected for something like this. Intentionally hooking somebody in the right rear in a car that, you know, is brand new. Now, I don't think that should play into it as much, but intentionally hooking somebody into the right rear, intentionally crashing them, no matter if you got used up on the wall or not. Yes, I think that in terms of this specific instance, that it is completely appropriate, and I can 100% see where NASCAR is coming from on this. Now, as you alluded to, we're going to get to more of that later, but in this specific instance, yeah, I do believe it's appropriate.
Yeah, I'm with you there. This is what I expected. You know, I didn't feel like suspending him the rest of the year was the necessarily right call, but obviously so many factors going into this. The next gen car where we've seen so many drivers get injured, obviously the point's been made before where the driver of the 45 just retired from full-time racing essentially due to this car having an injury in this car. We saw Alex Bowman's still out. And we had pieces written from Todd Bowles, Daniel McFadden, Michael Massey, kind of surrounding the situation. And obviously similar incidents this year, Noah Gragson versus Sage Karam and William Byron versus Denny Hamlin. Of course, the Gragson-Karam thing ended up with like 10 trashed cars or more. Byron and Hamlin sliding through the grass, but also no way of knowing if he would hit the outside wall, the inside wall, whatever. Those didn't result in suspensions. So what's your take on NASCAR's thought process with this being different than those? Obviously different speeds, all that stuff, but where is your thought process coming from with these?
There's the point of contingency, Adam, that I think is incredibly important to make sure it sticks out in this whole situation, is that you look at the incident with Noah Gragson. Yes, it's in the Xfinity Series. It's not as watched, but at the same time, they operate by the same rule book. Or they should, at least in theory. So you look at that wreck that, you know, it caused, you know, probably $250,000 worth of damage to some of these cars and total, and then receives, you know, $30,000 and a few points. You look at past precedents, like you said, you know, there's been fines, there's been point fines and everything like that, and it just doesn't match up. And that is where I think people are going to have a huge problem and have had a huge problem with the Bubba Wallace decision, because where do you draw the line? That's the big question. And if you continue to move that line, then you have problems, not only from a logistical and from a leadership standpoint, but from a ethical standpoint as well. And that ethical standpoint, I believe, is what's being called into question by a lot of the people that are very skeptical of this suspension.
And that's the thing, too. It's been interesting seeing all the varying reactions, because, like, I've seen people saying, oh, he assaulted Kyle Larson. I'm like, no, that's the shoving match that kind of happens after every wreck. Like, you know, Kyle Busch punched Joey Logano in the face, or tried to, at Las Vegas 5 years ago. And with the fallout from this, too, because Christopher Bell is now suddenly in a huge points hole. He was caught up as a part of this collateral damage. Obviously, Michael Massey wrote about this in NASCAR Mailbox a little bit, talking about the case for Bell to try to come back. Do you see Bell pulling off another clutch win over these next couple of races, or was this kind of the death knell for his title hopes?
I think that this was the death knell. I really do. And it's no shot at C-Bell. I think C-Bell has a phenomenal future in NASCAR. I think he's impressed to a pretty good extent so far in his young career. He's proven himself to be a pretty competent road course racer. He's improving on the larger tracks and everything like that. It sucks. It does. It sucks for Seabale, but at the same time, you know, it could have been anybody. He was in a bad situation at the bad time. And when you talk about punishing people for that kind of situation where you're simply in the wrong place at the wrong time, then there's an issue.
Well, we look ahead to Homestead, and obviously this is a track that favors some of these guys that ride the wall. Your Kyle Larson's, he's won there in Xfinity competition. Last year, William Byron won, but we haven't raced there in like a year and a half plus. We've got a brand new car. We've got a brand new level of parity in this field. What are you expecting from this weekend at Homestead as opposed to, because, you know, most of these tracks in the playoffs, okay, we saw how the next gen raced early on in the year or middle part of the year, whatever. This is one we haven't been to in like a year and a half. What are your expectations for it?
I'm excited. And I've had this one circled on the schedule for quite a while just because Homestead was a different mile and a half track before the next gen. It was a mile and a half track where you didn't have to worry about the cookie cutter type of racing that you saw sometimes out of the last car. With this car, it adds a completely new factor to what was already an exciting track. I think this is going to be one of the more watched races of the year. I think it should be one of the more watched races of the year. And I think that you're going to see, you are going to see those same guys, the Larsons, the guys that like to ride the high line. You're going to see them perform well. But you're also going to see other drivers, I think, be able to find some success, potentially even in other areas of the track with this new car, because we know the tires don't fall off. So that's not as big of a situation you have to worry about. We know the aero package is different. We know that this car races differently than the last car we had. So when you factor all those things in to a Homestead track that is a just completely different ballgame as far as mile and a half tracks go, I think it's a concoction for a very entertaining weekend.
Oh, absolutely. I'm on board with you with that. And obviously we saw Chase Briscoe do quite a lot to help himself in the points last week after sneaking into the round of eight. And this is the place he's won at before in Xfinity. So I wouldn't be shocked to see that 14 running up front. And that brings me to, who are your race picks for this weekend? Who have you got winning this thing?
My race picks for this weekend, I'm not going to lie to you, I think Chase Elliott comes away from Homestead this weekend with a win. I'm excited for what he can bring to the rest of the season. Now, Ryan Blaney is going to be in contention because Ryan Blaney has got to, I think, not only prove to him, to fans, but to himself that he can win in this car. We all know Ryan Blaney is a very talented driver. Victory Lane somehow has eluded him up to this point. At some point, that bridge has got to break. Some kind of straw has to break some camel's back. And he's going to have to bust into Victory Lane, and it very well could be this weekend. The Fords are fast, mile and a half.
Now, I wouldn't be shocked because Blaney has been on the cusp of winning that. He seemed like he might have had the fastest car last weekend, couldn't get the job done, had that spin late in the race. And honestly, I want a 20th different winner at some point in these last three races just to make my prediction come true. We're close. And I know ending the season with the 19 is going to grate on my nerves way too much. So we're almost at 20. I'm going to take Denny Hamlin. I think he's been flying under the radar a little bit. I think I still picked him to win the title this year, and he hasn't done a whole lot in the playoffs, but I think he's going to go to victory lane this weekend in that 11. Tanner, thanks so much for joining me, man. I appreciate it. Happy debut on Stock Car Scoop, and we will see what happens this weekend. I'm excited, too.
I'm 100% excited. Thank you for having me, Adam. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And you can follow me on Twitter at Adam Mancheek, Tanner at Tanner_Marler. And you can follow Front Stretch on YouTube and Twitter for all of our weekend content. We're going to have a lot to get to in the post-race Stock Car Scoop. So stay tuned for that on Sunday.